Wanted to talk just a little while this morning, and I realize that it being Communion Sunday, this is going to be a very short message. From notes that I could preach a very long message from, but I'm going to rush through these things because I want you to have sufficient time to worship the Lord in the communion of the Lord's table. And even as I'm preaching, I'm going to ask you to be preparing your hearts. The Bible says if we confess our sin, talking to Christians, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so as God brings to your mind any sin that you've not confessed, right now I just pray right there in your seat, you'll quickly take a moment to confess it, so that when we get ready to observe the communion of the Lord's table, you will do so with a clean heart, because you've confessed up to date, as someone once said so many years ago. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. This will be our key verse this morning for my short message. Tonight we're going to be using a video on our great nation, some history, and some encouragement to good citizenship. We're going to be looking at one of the several videos that we have around here by David Barton of Wall Builders. And I know that you'll be encouraged and you'll be challenged this evening with that video. And it goes along with our 4th of July celebration. And I will tell you now that we're going to continue our 4th of July celebration into next Sunday. We have some different features in next Sunday's service than today. And I see Andrea back there in the corner, and she's another one that suffers great pain constantly on a lot of heavy medicine for her pain following several accidents and surgeries through the years. So if you are not pain afflicted, you have no appreciation for those who are. If you have been in pain at some time in your life, you just project that to a daily thing and you realize how difficult it makes living for these people that are in constant pain. We kind of focus in on heart problems and cancer, but sometimes we need to remember people that live in pain. All right, this morning I would like for us to look at Psalm 33, verse 12. Psalm 33 and verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed or blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. There was a time in our great nation when we could say that we were a nation under God. This morning, as we said the Pledge of Allegiance during the singing of the national anthem, it says one nation under God. Our coinage says, in God we trust. And there was a time when that was very real. We live in a nation today where man usually does not trust in God. Most people trust in themselves. Some people trust in their government. Many trust in their wealth. Some trust in their insurance policies. Others trust in their friends. We've all been taught to trust in each other. But the real point is, we have lost the focus of putting our trust in God. Turn, if you will, back to Psalm 11 and verse 3. Psalm 11 and verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Our foundations are being destroyed systematically and continually. And then you can turn, if you will, over to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. I don't know why that number 23 is there, but it is Proverbs 14 and verse 34. Another verse that many of you are familiar with concerning our nation and a nation. Now, obviously, the nation that Scripture was written about in the Old Testament was the nation of Israel. But the principles are the same. In verse 34 of Proverbs chapter 14, it says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And then while you're in Proverbs, turn a few more pages to Proverbs 29 and verse 2. Proverbs 29 and verse 2. It says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When wicked man rules, the people groan. That is our verse of the month in the bulletin, as you remember. I want to say this morning that America was started by godly men. I've been reading this week a little booklet that was produced in Plymouth Colony, or Plymouth Plantation as it's called now, out there in Massachusetts. I'm sure it's a souvenir booklet. This was printed way back in 87. But it has many quotes from the history of the founding of the Plymouth Colony back in 1620. Some of my forefathers were there. In fact, I've learned that 9 members of the passenger list of the Mayflower are among my forefathers, and among many of your forefathers as well, I am sure, including the Aldens and some of the other ones there. And so why did they come to America? Why did they risk their lives and their fortunes to get on a boat in the middle of summer? Actually, it was August when they started the trip. And they arrived in Cape Cod, which now is called Plymouth Harbor. They arrived in that area in November. Now, that's not the time that I would want to arrive at a country that was totally undeveloped. The only inhabitants that were here were some Indians. And a great tribe of Indians had been previously decimated by some disease. As many as 1,000 Indians had wiped out a few years ahead of time. And so there weren't a whole lot of Indians to greet them either. And those that did were not friendly at first, until God sent along one Indian who had been captured and hauled off to England and had escaped and come back to America, and he could speak English. And he became the one that became the go-between between our pilgrim forefathers and the Indian population in that area, and helped them through the first winter and helped them to get established. And certainly God worked that out. But why did they leave England? Well, they were driven out of England almost. They left England with great difficulty and went to Holland. And then from Holland, they determined that they ought to just move to a new world and start over because of religious persecution. The passenger list of the Mayflower predominantly were Christians. And so we can safely say that our nation was begun by Christians. Our forefathers came to America as Christians to establish a colony with religious freedom. Not to be told what church they had to go to, and not to be told how they had to worship God. Now, in a sense, they did exactly what they ran away from, because they established a community church, and they expected everybody to toe their line, and thus the name of the Puritans. And then later a group came over on another ship called the Quakers. And so there was that. But in time, our religious freedom really began to flourish, and it's become the capstone of our nation until the last 40 or 50 years, when our freedoms are beginning to be eroded. And we don't even realize it unless we are students of the news and students of modern history as well as ancient history. But then we move up a few years. And we have, 156 years later, a document that we celebrate this Wednesday called the Declaration of Independence. Once again, that was written by predominantly Christian men. Most of our political leaders in the earlier days were lawyers. And in order to get a lawyer's degree, you also had to have a seminary degree. There had to be religious instruction before you could become a lawyer. And so most of our early political leaders in the early colony were actually Bible-trained men. Therefore, when they wrote the Declaration of Independence, it sounds almost like a Sunday morning message by some people. Not my kind of preaching, but the kind of preaching in most churches. And so we can safely say that our nation was begun by godly men. And then a few years later, after we had fought the Revolutionary War and we had banished the British back across the ocean to the homeland, and we had taken control of the 13 colonies up and down the eastern part of the United States, a constitutional government was formed. And once again, the Constitution was framed by these same godly men, God-fearing men, men with an understanding of this book, framed the Constitution of the United States. And later, as the Constitution needed additions and revisions called amendments, the first 14 are called the Bill of Rights. And there again, they're based on biblical precepts out of this book by men who understood the Word of God. But what about today? Would you turn with me this morning to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4? It's not very far from Proverbs. Probably your Bible's still open to Proverbs 29. Flip a few pages and you come over to Isaiah chapter 1. And this is what God is saying about His nation Israel. But this is also what God is saying about our nation, the United States of America, in 2012. Alas, verse 4, alas, A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken Jehovah. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backwards. Does that not describe the nation in which we live? Does that not describe the newspaper every day, the TV news, the radio news? Does that not describe the TV shows that everybody gets to watch? What are they about? They are about these very subjects. Notice what we can say about our modern world today. It is one that glorifies fornication, sex outside of marriage. It's the common theme of every comedy and every TV show anymore, isn't it? There's no holiness in marriage. There's no waiting for marriage to do those things. Fornication, adultery, stealing each other's wives, abortion. Isn't abortion a common thing today? Yes, it is. Has it become a little less so? Yes, a little less so. And yet the leadership of our own government promotes abortion. Our Congress pays for abortion. They support abortion mills with your tax dollars and with my tax dollars. Homosexuality is pushed on every side. It's legalized in many of our states. You say, what's wrong with homosexuality? You ask God. God calls it an abomination. And I know that this goes worldwide, but I'm saying it anyway. That's what God calls it. God hasn't changed His mind. There's no place in my Bible where God changes His mind on that subject. You say, well, that was Old Testament. Well, how about reading Romans chapter 1 then? If you think God was tough in the Old Testament, homosexuality and same-sex marriage. Look what God says in Romans chapter 1. He's even tougher there. And then we have mixed marriages where a Christian marries a non-Christian and suffers all of those heartaches and consequences that come with that. And when I say mixed marriages, I'm not talking about races. I'm talking about relationships. God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that you and I are not to be unequally yoked. The holy with the unholy, the Christian with the unchristian. If you are not both born again, you shouldn't get married to each other. And if you are married in that situation, pray for your mate. But stop preaching and start living it. If you live your Christian faith, God will honor that with your unsaved mate. You may have made a mistake in the past. Don't continue to make a mistake. You're not going to win them by your preaching. You're going to win them by your praying and your living. And God will give somebody else the privilege of preaching at them at the job or in the neighborhood or at the store. How can God bless us? That's a question I want you to ponder over this week. How can God bless us when we are the nation that is described in Isaiah 1, verse 4? Alas, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors, those that have forsaken Jehovah, they have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel, and they have turned away backwards. Sad to say, it describes the nation that once was founded on the biblical principles of this book. Let us bow our hearts in prayer, and let us pray for our nation right now, and then let us prepare our hearts to worship the Lord in the communion table. Eternal God, great, merciful Heavenly Father, we come into your presence today, and we ask that you may help us to pray for our nation. Lord God, you told us that if we would forsake our sins and humble ourselves, that you would heal our land. And so, God, we Christians need to fall before you and pray for our nation. But we need also to forsake our sin and take a stand for righteousness. We ask, God, that you will glorify yourself in this service, and you will also bring our nation back to you. We pray it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.